Hello, this is the FL72 podcast, Sam and Tom. If you missed the show this week, then this is why you're here, to download and listen to it. And Tom has promised for this week's podcast, because this is a first where we've actually got a sponsored advertisement to bring you, that he reckons he can do it and deliver it in a professional manner.
Professional manner, yes. This is it's Tom Connor from the FL72 podcast telling you you can get 8 incredible craft beers for only £14 with Beer 52. As a listener to one of our Radio Yorkshire podcasts, we've arranged an extra special.
You can insert podcast there. You can say you can make it sound a bit more exclusive to the FL72 listener.
As a listener to our FL72 podcast, we've arranged an extra special deal just for you. Beer 52 ship theme monthly boxes, if we could say the words, of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious, exclusive craft beers selected to your preferences. The award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack by using our code...
What's the code?
The code, by using our code, PROPER, all in capitals.
No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Lowercase or in capitals, I'm reliably informed
that proper at beer52.com. That's 8 exclusive hand-selected beer. This month, Sam, it's Norwegian craft beers. Very nice indeed. 100-page Ferment magazine, beer snack, free next-day delivery, so you're not going to wait either, and a flexible monthly subscription. All just £14 in your first month.
Excellent. Well done, Tom Carndorf. We can vouch for it because sent it out. Next day delivery. It arrived. It was ice cold and it was very, very tasty.
Very good.
So make sure beer52.com. We'll work on Tom for next week. But this is the podcast.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Good evening and welcome along to the FL72. It's Matt Wilson in tonight alongside Tom Carndorf. Well, Mr. Bridges suns himself at the seaside as he does or gets ready for what could be a titanic Yorkshire playoff period. We'll find out who or which of our sides are going to come out on top. We'll get the opinion of Tom and you, the listener, as well, as we wrap up the end of the Football League season. Bradford City going to Wembley. Can they beat Millwall? Huddersfield and Wednesday about to do battle in the Championships, but one of them will be in the Championship with Leeds next season. We'll talk all about Charlie Taylor refusing to play. What a disgrace that is. What about Doncaster as well, finishing third in what at one point looked a one-horse race, didn't it? Elsewhere, Rotherham finished the season with a point. Better late than never, I guess. We'll talk all about Newcastle, who won the title after Brighton bottled it again. Reading and Fulham in the other Championship playoff as well. What about Blackburn, joined in the drop zone by Rotherham of Wigan, of course. But they got 51 points. How unlucky is that? As always, on the FL72 here on Radio Yorkshire, it's the legend that is Tom Carndorf.
Oh, that's a nice intro.
There you go,
much nicer than Sam would do.
Yeah, well, there you go, you see. no Sam this week, so you really should be pressing all the buttons and setting the agenda. I think here on Radio Yorkshire, we had a pretty good weekend when it came to social media from the Championship. We obviously had Gary Monk telling us that Charlie Taylor had refused to play.
Yes.
And we also got Mr. Warnock telling Mr. Wagner, I'll tell you how to beat those lot from Hillsborough. That was quite funny, wasn't it?
Quite entertaining. Yeah, it's quite a lot of shocks in the press conferences from two sides of the scale, should we put it, on the funny side and then the very serious side. But yeah, the Charlie Taylor thing was quite phenomenal, to be honest, how he just outright refused to play the game.
Yeah, disappointing, I think, isn't it? And I don't think anyone begrudges a player moving on to bigger and better things. And if Charlie ends up in the Premier League, had he left the right way, I think everyone would have wished him well. I think there's a lot of animosity towards him now, isn't there?
Yeah, it's just kind of that unnecessary kind of souring of the end of his career. He's only young, but he's been at the club for a very long time. Made his first team debut in, 2012, I think it was, 2011, 2012. So he's been around quite a long time. And yeah, just disappointment, really, that it had to end the way it did. It could have just been a case of that he does just leave. Fair enough, he moves on. As you said, he goes to the Premier League with probably everyone's best wishes, but yeah, it wasn't any secret that he was going to be moving on. So it just seemed a bit of an unnecessary way to kind of end his time at Leeds.
Yeah, it did indeed. Let's have your thoughts on that one at Radio _ Yorkshire on the Twitter if you want to get involved. Bradford heading to Wembley. We'll talk a little bit more about them later on as well. But I want to start at the top of the Championship, right at the top.
Yes.
Brighton, they've bottled it again.
I know. What's going on with that? They really had a... like Doncaster in League 2, where they secured promotion. They went, we'll give up now. We'll give up. We'll just go out every night, as they seem to be doing. And, they've missed out. And the way they missed out as well, they were 1-0 up away at Villa, who were down to 10 men. It all seemed to be going their way, and they concede a pretty preventable goal, and the title's gone. So, yeah, disappointment for them, really. It would have been a big boost to go to the Premier League with a Championship title.
Yeah, they have today announced that they've re-signed Dale Stevens on a four-year deal. I know he's highly regarded, Dale Stevens, and I'm sure he'll be delighted to have tied up a four-year deal with the team that are going to be in the Premier League.
Yeah, definitely. It's good. I think the disappointment was around, despite the promotion to the Premier League, that they would have loved to have won the title. So to have something like that, a bit of positivity, it's good. It's got to be a busy summer for them. They're going to have to recruit, as any team does when they go up to the Premier League. They've got a good side, but as we know, they've got to add that extra bit of quality. And yeah, it's a good move. Undoubtedly, there was going to be interest in him, from both Premier League, probably more Premier League clubs. I think it would be a bit ambitious for Championship clubs to go after him. But yeah, it's a good move. And it's good to see that they're tying up kind of for the long term as well, looking ahead and building kind of a team from the players they've already got, as well as those they're going to add from elsewhere.
Yeah, we are live on Facebook as well tonight, are we? I understand.
I believe so, yes.
All right, very good. You can get in touch with us via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page as well. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about it. We've obviously got things we want to discuss as we go along. Obviously, Huddersfield taking on Sheffield Wednesday at the weekend in the first leg of their game. How ironic that, having rested all his players the week before,
yes,
David Wagner then reverts back to a nearer full-strength team, and he loses Danny Ward, sent off, so he's going to miss that first leg.
Yeah, definitely. It's still plenty of changes for him, but like you said, they have a first-teamer in, and he gets sent off, and it's pretty bad as well. It wasn't even quite discreet. He was miles away. It was one of those where it will be a bit of a problem, but of course it could have been a lot worse. It's not like it's a Philip Billing problem where he's out, but you know, he will come back for that second leg. It's just how important that first leg's going to be for him.
What's your thoughts? Because the two teams, really, I think, go in the opposite direction at the minute. Wednesday, who I know they didn't have a great result the weekend, but it was highly irrelevant from their point of view. They've hit form when it really mattered. Huddersfield have stumbled into the playoffs. I know it's not a definitive as how they're both going to do in this leg, in this tie, but what do you think?
Yeah, it's difficult. I think I don't think you can look too much into kind of the last weeks as well. The weekend was what it was. They made changes, etc. It wasn't the full strength side. I think this clash is going to be real. Kind of the home legs are going to come into it. The home records that both teams have, they're very strong at home. If Huddersfield can replicate you look at the Brighton game when they played them at the John Smith, so they can replicate that, they're going to be in a good position. If they can take a lead, ideally, to Hillsborough, they're going to be strong, because it's not an easy place for any team to go. So for them, that first leg, to have it at home, I think it's going to play to their advantage.
Yeah, you would think so. You know, it's like the old cricketing analogies. It gets some runs on the board and see where it takes you. You know,
but
I think it's going to be tight, as we saw in the League One, you know, with Bradford and Fleetwood. It did ultimately go down to the final whistle. I'd love to get the opinion of a Fleetwood fan. I know we're jumping ahead here, but did they even have a go at winning that game against Bradford? If you watched it.
Yeah.
It was like, hang on, are Bradford behind here on aggregate or Fleetwood? They never even had a go, did they?
It's remarkable. Even on that first leg, they didn't look a threat whatsoever, really. And as soon as all Bradford had to do was win that home leg. We know how strong they are at home, how strong they've been all season at home. All they had to do was win the home leg and they'd be in a good position. They did that. And like you said, you expected it to go to Fleetwood and Fleetwood to give it a real good go. They had to, of course, they had to win, had to turn it around. They didn't even look like they were, had any intention of winning the game. It was, and from a neutral aspect, it made it a bit of tedious to watch, but it was the job done for Bradford, what they needed.
As a season ticket holder at Bradford, who obviously never goes, given work commitments elsewhere, I'm watching the game thinking, there's never any doubt Bradford aren't going to qualify here. I've moved on anyway, because I want to talk about the Championship. I know there's a lot of polls being done, Huddersfield Wednesday, Reading or Fulham going to get up. A lot of people are firmly siding with Fulham, given that the beautiful football they can play. I've witnessed it twice. They're very, very good. But they were six in the table for a reason, because they do have the odd blip on the way. What do you think? Where would you have your mythical £10? Please gamble responsibly.
I'm quite surprised. This shows maybe the strength of the other three teams. You can get Reading at 7-1 to win the playoffs.
They've been a huge price all year, though,
that's
Tom.
What I mean. But you're thinking it's quite remarkable that the team we finish in third, who in theory are going to be your strongest team going into it, they're that far off. But like I said, they've got a Fulham team who are heavily fancied to win it. And yeah, with Wednesday and Huddersfield, obviously one of them is definitely going to be at Wembley. If in an ideal world Fulham can get through, it's going to make a very good final. But I don't know, I'm torn between probably one of the Yorkshire sides, I think, to do it, but I'm not sure which one.
Okay, let us know what you think at @Radio_Yorkshire if you want to get in touch regarding any footballing issues. But no doubt in a big weekend, it was Newcastle who got the job done right at the top. They are the champions. They're going to be joined by Brighton in the Premier League. And the question is, which of the other four are going to join them? Huddersfield play Sheffield Wednesday. Reading are at Fulham in the first leg as well. We'll hear from David Wagner very shortly. I thought it was you can obviously still see the clip, can't you, on the Radio Yorkshire Twitter feed, @Radio_Yorkshire, of... he got a bit bored, didn't he, Mr. Warnock? He was sick of waiting. He just barged in, didn't he?
Barged
and had his say in the presser.
I think Wagner was about 8 minutes into it, and Warnock was like, right, that's it. As you could hear, he wanted to go and just barge straight in. And even then, about 3 minutes, I think he did. And he went, right, that's it.
Yeah.
Because at the end of one of the questions, he just goes, right, that's it, I'm off. Just stood up and walks out. But yeah, one of those real kind of nice clips to watch, and it's the other side of football.
Yeah, it was probably a lot of people give Warnock a lot of stick for many different reasons, but yeah, sure, he had a bit of a sense of humour, and I guess deep down he's still a huge Sheffield United fan, because he would love, I think, his old club Huddersfield to beat Wednesday, wouldn't he?
Yeah, it's quite nice as well. He has a lot of kind of kind words to say about Huddersfield. Obviously he was there, he talks about his time at Huddersfield as well. He said he still looks back fondly on it. It's kind of obviously a spell of time that he did enjoy. And yeah, you can tell that obviously maybe the Sheffield Wednesday factor's coming in, but he has backed Huddersfield. He is backing Huddersfield to get there. And yeah, it was quite a nice just kind of post thing. I think maybe because Cardiff hammered him. By the sounds of it, they really did batter him. He's probably in that good mood. But yeah, it was good to see.
It was indeed. Let's hear then from the town boss, David Wagner, who's speaking to our man Derek Clark after the Terriers ended their campaign with a heavy defeat at the John Smiths.
David, a captain of atmosphere, great finishing in the playoffs, but were you disappointed with the result today?
Yeah, of course. I understand everybody who is disappointed, and I'm disappointed as well, because nobody likes to lose football matches, but... I think we all together have seen today that we made, especially in the first 10-15 minutes, more or less exactly the same mistakes that we did in the last home game against Fulham. So we gave so many easy chances away, we had so many poor touches, especially in our last line, and invited the opponent to opportunities and even to the red card. So if it was a match where it really counts, I would say my players were nervous, but there was no reason to be nervous. I think we were more unconcentrated and missed focus, and were not switched on what you have to be in the Championship if you like to win football matches. The only thing what I can say is, to be honest, even for me it wasn't easy in the last 2 weeks really to create this excitement for the games which were in front of us, because we've done our job with achieving the playoffs, unbelievable achievement for this football club, and even I wanted to finish this season because I wanted to play the football matches where it really counts, and now we have it in front of us, Sheffield Wednesday, Sunday, Yorkshire Derby, first game here at home. And there we will be totally focused on, and switch on. I'm totally sure that we are very quick able to leave this competition behind us. And if we think about the competition that we have played in this season, I think we all together can be very proud what this football club achieved with 81 points in this season.
I guess one blemish is Danny Ward's red card. Did you see it? Have you seen it back?
Yeah, I've seen it back. So he touched it with his arm. He will be out for one game. This is what I heard. And now everybody has seen how many sense it made to switch some players against Birmingham. Joel Coleman played against Birmingham. He played a big part of the game today. So we have every trust and belief. And he has minutes. So he is full in the game. And we are totally have trust and belief in him. And he will play then the first game on Sunday against Sheffield Wednesday. So this is what it is. We take it. I think we will be not the favorites for sure in the semifinals. And we have the underdog role again, like we had over the whole season. This is a role we are used to be it. We are used to it and we like. No problem. I think the pressure is totally on Sheffield if you've seen what they've done in the last 2 years, and if you know how much money they invested to come where they are. And we can really go in this game's humble, like we played the whole season, but ambitions. Now we are 3 games away from the Premier League. We know that we have to play better than we did today, but I think this is very easy to play better than we did today, and for this we will create this excitement and this atmosphere which is necessary to be successful. And obviously we were not able to create this excitement and atmosphere today.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, David Wagner sounded a bit fed up there, didn't he, at the end? It's not the way they would have wanted to end, is it? I know a lot of people were thinking when they were in, they won at Wolves, that secured their playoff place. Yeah. And you're always a little bit wondering how they're going to finish the season, but 2 defeats at Birmingham and they got spanked at home.
Yeah.
Not the way to go into the playoffs, is it?
No, especially when it's not your first 11. That's understandable, but still you want to be going to the playoffs with a bit of form. Understand that it is partially a lottery when people say that, but you can't just completely disregard your form going into it. Yeah, like I said, the disappointment of finishing the season, the regular season, with a loss, whether that might work in their favour, the home leg first, it might motivate them to give a good performance, because, you know, speaking to a couple of Huddersfield fans, there was a lot of, not many people stayed for like the lap of honour at the end. They were just kind of that fed up of what they seen that afternoon. People were leaving from about 50-55 minutes onwards. So maybe that might work in their favour in a way that when they get the strong 11 back, the first 11 back, they might want to put in a good performance for the fans.
But is it as easy to turn it on and off as that? That's the worry, isn't it?
Yeah, especially against the Sheffield Wednesday side, who are going to be fancied. Came so close last year. The disappointment, maybe not playing as well as they could have at Wembley. Of course, Hull getting the promotion that day. That's not going to be easy whatsoever. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Wednesday as well because of last season, because of the expectation, because of the money they've spent as well. Even down to the managerial situation, you've got to fear for him if they don't get promoted this time, especially if they go out in the semi-final, because then they've kind of gone backwards, if anything, from last year. You know, I wouldn't say it's the right decision, but that's football nowadays and you've got to kind of worry about that as well.
They're going to take a Wednesday side that have finished fourth. I was criticised earlier in the year. I thought they were underperforming vastly, Sheffield Wednesday. But in fairness, right at the end, they've put a really good run together. Yes, I know they were beaten in the end at the weekend, or didn't win at the weekend, but it was an irrelevant match. Fulham couldn't overtake them, could they? So
yeah,
it was as they were, wasn't it?
I think they probably would have preferred to play Huddersfield as well to Fulham. I'm not by any way saying that they went out on the game to lose, but it was one of those maybe where if you don't win, it doesn't matter. But yeah, like I said, I think they were underperforming at times. It's recently, with the recent results, they've got wins together. They've come into it with a great winning streak, you know, ignoring that defeat at the weekend.
They'd won 6 on the trot, hadn't they,
exactly,
prior to that? Yeah.
Exactly, and that's really helped them now, obviously, get to the playoffs and why they're one of the fancy teams in the playoffs, much like Fulham. Of course, they come into it, in a bit of good form as well, playing good football, and they're going to be fancied. But Huddersfield, they've, in a way, they've got no fear. They've got, you know, no pressure on them whatsoever. It's new to them. They're usually at the other end of the table, competing at the other end for the wrong reasons at times. So yeah, it should be good. It should make for a very good clash.
It should indeed. Richard Kosmala, our resident Huddersfield Town fan, has just said, as long as we don't, you know, we don't die wondering and don't do what Fleetwood did.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, definitely. Right, yeah, it? If they can, you know, as expected, you're going to expect it from a very good Huddersfield side. Been very good this season. You know, it's shown where they've finished. Been very entertaining to watch. You're going to imagine they're going to be up for this. They're really going to be up for this. Three games away from the Premier League, three of the biggest games in their recent history. They're going to be up for it, like you said, as long as they don't do a Fleetwood. That's the main thing. And if they do lose, as long as they give it a good go in losing.
Yeah, well, we'll see. A bit of unrelated sports news. Oof. From Leicester at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
In the racing. Eh? A winner at last, marching on together, won.
There we go.
14-1, Tom. What's good? Did you put us a tenner on?
Oh, well, I didn't know about this until after the race.
You know what? I saw it this afternoon. Someone tweeted it was 11-1. It won at 14-1. So
there you go. Bit of positivity for Leeds this season in the end.
There you go. Ended winners. Gut feeling, who's going to go through, Wednesday or Town?
My gut feeling would be Wednesday, purely just for the quality they have, taken nothing away from Huddersfield. But like I said, if Huddersfield can get a good performance and that John Smith's take a lead in, then it's open. But it's just so close to call. I think Wednesday just might just edge it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Richard, because I know you're listening. I think also Sheffield Wednesday. I think Sheffield Wednesday will go up. That's my gut feeling. Let's round up the Championship then. Leeds United ended with a draw, probably a game that summed up their season. Didn't quite do enough to win. And didn't quite have enough quality. Chris Wood gets his 30th goal of the season. Tremendous achievement for him. But the big news after the game, Charlie Taylor refused to play. What do you make of that?
That was a shock. Of course, when the team news came out, we were all saying that that's probably him for Leeds. It was expected, like we said, that, you know, he was going to leave in the summer. It's just a bit of a sad way for him to go in the end after what's been a career for him that's been, you know, full of positives, really, in what's been quite a negative time at Leeds in the past few years. It's just a shame that it comes to him refusing to play. And in fairness to Gary Monk, I thought he handled it quite well in his press conference after. He kind of said the right things without, kind of not hanging him out to dry, so to speak, but he did say exactly what had happened. And I think that's kind of what the fans wanted. And, you know, it's gone against Charlie now. I think he's probably off to the Premier League, you would imagine. I think there's been West Brom and Stoke have been chasing him for quite a while now. But like I said, it's just a sad way for him to kind of end a Leeds career where a lot of the fans can kind of, you know, relate, support to him, with him being a Leeds youth product coming through, playing for the first team, etc. Yeah, it's just not the way you wanted it to end, really.
No, I completely agree with that. Disappointment, really. I think there was a lot of resentment towards him on Twitter. I know some people say, oh, we heard from Charlie Taylor, but would have been easy to say he was injured, he was ill, or whatever, but to actually just say, no, he refused to play. And Gary Monk doesn't strike me as the type of guy to say that if that's not the case.
Yeah, I think, you know, you don't want to see players fake an injury whatsoever, but if it's down to, if you don't want to play, you're thinking, well, why didn't you just go, oh, I've got a bad back. The medical team might not believe you, but they can't exactly go, well, you got to go and play.
Yeah, turn up, wave to the fans.
Yeah,
and
go,
you know, with everyone's begrudging, but probably best wishes. Well,
exactly.
Looks like he's done now for now. With a view to next year, obviously the Monk talking to Rad Rizzani, that seemed a whole lot more positive than maybe it did this time last week.
Yeah, he sounded like I said, he sounds much more positive in his post-match chats compared to after the Norwich game. It was a lot of, the way he sounded, it didn't sound that positive. But after Wigan, of course, of the Taylor situation, that maybe, you know, influenced kind of a potential mood, etc. But yeah, it sounded a lot more positive. It's good to see that the club have actually finally got round to the talks. It shouldn't really be a debate. Gary Monk is clearly the man to take Leeds forward, and he's got the fan support. It's a good way for Rad Rizzani as well, if he is coming in as 100% owner, as we'd expect over the summer. It's a good way to get the fans immediately on your side. You know, it's someone who's kind of proved themselves this year, of a squad that has overachieved really. I think it's fair to say it's not a massive squad. The team have overachieved. It's a way to get the fans alongside what you're doing. If you're getting the man that they want as well, and the man who's proved that, you know, he could probably get the job done in the long term.
He brought Bartley in. He said Bartley remains his top target.
Yes.
Do you think he'll be able to keep him or get him back, should we say?
I think Swansea's potential Premier League status is a big one, because if they come down, you can't see him wanting to get rid. He's established himself now as a championship centre-back.
Yeah.
You know, a top championship centre-back. If Swansea come down, you can't see him wanting to give it. You know, if Leeds keep Monk as well, imagine Swansea and Leeds were promotion rivals next year. So you can't see him wanting to give a player like Carl Bartley away. If they stay in the Premier League, maybe it might be a bit of a kick to him to look to strengthen, and that might allow Bartley to leave and come to Leeds. I don't know, but it'd be a real good move for Leeds to bring him permanently. Real good, especially if Janssen does kind of stay on that permanent deal.
Yeah, well, it is expected that he will. We'll talk more about Bradford City a little bit later on, because obviously they're getting ready for a trip to Wembley. They'll be wearing their home colours at Wembley as well. That's been confirmed this afternoon. Probably the one big disappointment from a Yorkshire perspective, Rotherham aside, was the way that Donny have finished the season. Another defeat for them. Ended up finishing third, 2 points behind Portsmouth. They were... Well, the real outsiders going into the last day of the season to win the league, but they were the one that got it done. Another defeat for Donny at relegated Hartlepool.
Yeah, it was going into this last... Well, the past 2 weeks, really. Doncaster needs to get it done before their last two games, because Exeter last week, who were looking to secure a playoff place, as we know, if they didn't do that, it was any one of, what, 12 downwards who were looking for a playoff place. Yeah. They could have been thrown into that.
Yeah.
And you're playing Hartlepool on the last day, who are fighting for Football League survival. It didn't work out that way, but they won. It was just results elsewhere that relegated them. So, yeah, very disappointing that it was really in their hands. How many points clear were they of second at one point? And it's just absolutely collapsed. And disappointment, no matter what division it is, you want to be winning the title. It's going to go in the history books. It's going to go in the trophy cabinet, etc. Yeah, disappointing end to what has been a good season for them.
Yeah, it has indeed. We'll talk all about Bradford City in part two of the FL 72 tonight. We'll talk about Steve Evans, his favourite for the Swindon job. Come on. We'll have a chat about that and more. It's Tom and Mark with you on the FL 72.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, welcome back. It is the FL 72. It's Mark and Tom with you through until 7 o'clock. Don't forget you can watch on Facebook Live, Radio Yorkshire Facebook page there. Or you can get in touch via the Radio Yorkshire Twitter page, which is radio_Yorkshire. I want to talk about some other things that happened at the weekend. At Hartlepool, relegated from League 2 despite beating Donny, who we spoke about earlier on. Jeff Stelling, his rant didn't have any impact, did it?
Didn't, no, of course. Got the win on the last day, but he can't be going to the last day. You know, over the course, they've had 45 other games to sort this out, and they haven't. You know, taking that away, it still was heartbreaking the way it happened. Well, not if you're a Newport fan, it was fantastic, but a last-minute equaliser to relegate you, who, you know, shouldn't take away that they did beat a team who were going for the title. Fair enough, Doncaster in awful form, but they're still in with a shout at the title. Second favourites, of course, going into it on the final day to win it. Yeah, relegated ends their 88, I think it is, year stay in the Football League, long time. And as we all know, it's very difficult to get back up. So, you know, question is going to be there whether you expect them to come back straight away. Not sure kind
it's
of
tough,
how they're going to do
know
it.
Greg always used to say when he was on that conference, or the National League as it's now known, there's more and more money in that one. It really should be the next league down. It'd still be just as hard to get out of it, but I don't think it's non-league anymore. There's a lot of full-time teams in there.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it all depends who they can attract in as manager as well. I think it was... I can't remember who it is, but it was a player-manager they have currently. He was obviously just there for the few games. Ended up currently the youngest manager in the Football League at just 30. But yeah, it's little things like that. Like you said, the money's coming in, the amount of teams that are going full-time now, whereas a few years ago it was pretty 50-50 on full part-time. More are coming down, Leighton Orient as well. Okay, we don't know what the future is for them, but in theory they should be looking to bounce back. And the teams who are going to miss out this year as well, it's a quite a strong playoffs this time round.
It is.
A lot of competition, there's only two promotion places, it's going to be really difficult for them.
It is indeed. Let's have a look at what else happened in the Football League this weekend. Blackburn relegated despite winning at Brentford. 51 points. Is that what Peterborough got?
Yeah.
Something similar. They got 50-plus and got relegated, didn't they, a couple of years ago? Tough on them, but I have to gloat. When Owen Coyle, and I know you and Sam give him some stick week in, week out on this show, rightly so, might I add. I had a few quid on Blackburn. I think they were 9-2 or 11-2 to get relegated. And I think with Coyle in charge, they were always going to be down that end of the league. And then when they saw Grant Hanley right at the start of the season to Newcastle, struggling, and they've struggled all year, haven't they?
You can see it, you know, just the whole atmosphere around Blackburn as a club at the moment. There's a lot of discontent amongst the fans. It's not been a great few years whatsoever since they've dropped from the Premier League. And there, as soon as Owen Coyle was appointed, you thought, this just isn't going to go well. This is not going to end well, and it hasn't. But 51 points, it just shows what a competitive league it's been this year. Fulham qualified in sixth for the playoffs on 80 points. And that, you know, at the other end, that was the kind of points tally just to reach the top six. So it shows how competitive it's been this year. But much like Hartlepool, they've had 45 other games to sort this out. It's pretty rare, I suppose, that the three teams on the final day all win. Fair play, they all think must have thought they got the job done. But yeah, down to League One, and I don't know. I just don't know. Can you see them really bouncing back at the first time, just with kind of how the club is and everything? I'm not too sure.
You think there's more doom to come there? I was a big believer that Villa wouldn't go straight back up because you felt they hadn't, despite going down, they hadn't hit the bottom yet. And I think that's Blackburn's problem. I think there's more to come, isn't there?
I think, you're looking at, you know, maybe even with Wigan, they've gone down as well, but you can go, well, they've been there before. There's a bit of positivity there with some of the relegated teams, you know, as ever. There's some positivity, but with Blackburn, you just, like I said, you feel that there's more to come. They've been flirting with the relegation for, you know, a bit now. It's finally happened, and there's not a lot of positivity around the place. It's not like, for example, when Newcastle came to the Championship this year, taking money aside, they, you know, they had a manager there that everyone could get behind. It's not even kind of like they've got that figure to do. Talk of Leeds, you know, with the Gary Monk, they can relate. They can kind of hold on to Gary Monk in a way in what has been a disappointing season. You just don't know what the future's going to bring for Blackburn. And
you wonder if they'd have never sacked Sam Allardyce. Ooh. It's just been a downwards, well, not even a spiral, it's just been a slide, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been down. And if they were going to sign Robert Lewandowski, weren't they? If they weren't for that Icelandic ash cloud that happened a few years ago, what could have been? And now they're in League One.
But, Oh, dear.
But, yeah, it's...
Blame Iceland.
There you go.
That's what Roy did.
Yeah, there we are, then.
There we are.
They've ruined it for everyone.
Common theme. So, there, you know, Blackburn have gone. Let's have a look. You made a note here. Obviously, the executives are going to meet to discuss what they can do regarding ownership and inept owners. And we're starting to see too many examples of this now, Tom, aren't we?
Yeah.
Guys that have got money and made money in the business world come into football and all of a sudden they don't know what they're doing. And there's more than one. And, you know, we're not sat far away from one now. But you get the feeling for Blackburn with their owners who bought a Premier League club not knowing they could get relegated.
Yeah.
I mean, it's madness, isn't it?
It's phenomenal. And probably the biggest example that this has come from at the moment is Leyton Orient. You're looking at that, of where they were, you know, not too long ago, they were nearly in the Championship. They were nearly at that end. They've been an absolute free fall. A lot of, you know, you saw the protests on the final day. That's a similar thing with ownership, and I think that's really where it started to come around, where you've got teams that have been in the Football League for over 100 years finally drop out of it, and it was very preventable. And you're just thinking, like you said, the amount of owners about at the moment who just seem, you know, you look at Coventry as well in League One, there's another example. It just seems to be a regular occurrence, too regular for what is meant to be something that's regulated and meant to be prevented. It just doesn't seem to be happening that way.
No, it doesn't. Steve Evans is favourite for the Swindon job.
Yes.
What do we make of this one?
I can see it. He's done a pretty fantastic job with Mansfield.
They lost, didn't they, to Portsmouth, ironically, on the penalty. If they'd have won that, they would have been in the playoffs with one game left, wouldn't they?
And you think that, you know, when he was at Leeds, I think that was a bit of a shock. I think it was difficult for a lot of fans to kind of get behind him. You know, a lot did, in fairness to him, but clear that he probably wasn't going to move to another Championship club. The Mansfield one was still a bit of a surprise. Maybe League One. He's shown he can, you know, have success previously with that Rotherham team. Of course, brought them up. Look at them now. They're completely other end of the scale, really. I can kind of see it. I just don't know what's going on with the whole Tim Sherwood situation there and kind of the role he plays
and
what he does.
Well, you mentioned that because Chris Ramsey is now being backed into favouritism. Steve Evans just drifted out a little bit, and then Brian McDermott, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, so real ex-leads there.
Yeah.
Tim Sherwood, they're all 14-1. Nigel Atkins, and there he is, clueless himself, Owen Coyle at 16-1. Some good names. I'll tell you what it tells you about football. You look at some of the names on the list, you know, Evans, Brian McDermott, Tim Sherwood, Nigel Atkins, Owen Coyle, Billy Davis, Chris Powell, Dennis Wise, Graham Wesley, Paolo Di Canio's on the list. Well, he has, of course, been there, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been there, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, but that, you know, Swindon, another club where maybe the owner has a little bit too much to do with it, do you think?
I think there's a lot of, obviously, again, like you said, there's another club there. It's been not a great season, without saying whatsoever. You've gone down. You need a good appointment because there's going to be the expectation for a Swindon to come straight back up out of League Two. And some of the names you mentioned there, some of them for League Two would be quite ambitious, I think, and maybe that's your statement of intent that you need. But again, it's going to be one of those clubs that I don't know how you're going to kind of sell it as an attractive prospect to some managers that may kind of have that ambition.
There's also a managerial job going at Wigan, which is where we were on Sunday, of course. Gary Caldwell is on that list. Third favourite. Michael Appleton is your favourite, the Oxford manager. Alan Stubbs in there at 4-1. Gary Caldwell, Dougie Friedman, Steve Clark, Uwe Rosler at 14s, Nigel Atkins, Alex McLeish. So, again, some big names being linked with that job at Wigan and came up. Probably got it wrong. I thought they were a bit wrong sacking Caldwell in the first place because it came after they'd had a good draw at Leeds. It'd be a good job, that, though, because there's a bit of backing there financially to come straight back out of League One.
Yeah, got a good team as well. Like I said, for League One as well, they're going to come down with probably a stronger team than they had last time they were there. But yeah, the names you mentioned, Caldwell, Rossler, of course, is at Wigan as well. You can't see those ones happening. But Alan Stubbs' second favourite, I think, is quite surprising with what happened at Rotherham. He brought in a lot of players that I think that's really where the Rotherham decline started this season. That was a large factor of it. Probably wouldn't have him, but yeah, some good names there that would probably, you know, as expected, get Wigan promoted from League One.
It's an interesting one. Keep in touch on Twitter at @Radio_Yorkshire. Drake has been on. He said Fulham Sheffield Wednesday in the final. He said Fulham to win, Bradford to meet Millwall. He said there'll be more Yorkshire sides in the Championship, chucking Borough, Sunderland and hopefully Hull. Could be quite lively in the Championship next season, couldn't it?
Yeah, in terms of geographic, we're looking at this the other day, it could be quite a northern league next year with Bradford come up. You've got Sheffield United, of course, Bolton coming up. Like I said, Sunderland, Borough, Hull. It's looking quite good for us up here. It's like a lot of travelling.
They'll still, though, be, you know, somewhere like Cardiff on a Tuesday, Bristol on a Tuesday, Ipswich on a Tuesday, Norwich on a Tuesday.
Well, there's always, like, the one I've noticed, Leeds, Brighton. Always midweek now. Yeah. Always when it's at Brighton. But yeah, it's looking very northern, quite good.
Yeah, it is indeed. Looking forward to it. It's flying by on the FL 72 tonight. Keep your interaction coming in on the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. And you can get in touch as well via Twitter at @Radio_Yorkshire. Tom and I will be back very shortly. We're going to round up some of the gossip that's been going on. Which players might be getting linked with which clubs? Will Kyle Bartley remain at Leeds? So we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. It's the FL 72 with Tom and Mark.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, don't forget the Yorkshire Football Show back tomorrow on Radio Yorkshire. Redders and Stats will be joined alongside Derek Clark. So I'm sneaking off to the races tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be nice and sunny, so I'll be off to Chester. The only problem, Beavers is there. I'll be able to hear him. Wherever I am, I'll be able to hear him. Bobby Beavers.
Keep your head down.
Ignore him. He might never see us. Right, where do you want to start in terms then, Tom, of football transfers, because I've seen you've written one here. Burnley set to swoop for Brentford's Yotta and Fulham's Tom Kearney.
Yes.
Two of the best players, I think, attacking wise in the Championship.
Yeah, it's kind of won the paper talk, so to speak, that's appeared recently. Like you said, two very good players. Tom Kearney's had a fantastic season. A lot of people's teams of the year. Jota, since going back to Brentford, has been phenomenal. This, you know, in such a short space of time, the impact he's had back at the club. Be a real statement of intent for a team, you know, in this league to go for him. But, you know, that you can imagine they'll do a job for Burnley. The kind of form, the confidence that they'll be bringing into the Premier League if they do move. Of course, Tom Kearney could be there with Fulham. You know, if they do go up, you can't imagine them looking to get rid of him. But for a team like Fulham as well, that's one that you're thinking, if they do truly want to be a Premier League team, they've got to be keeping hold of players like him. Jota, yeah. Of course, Brentford did okay, but not really threatening promotion recently. So that could be a difficult one. But yeah, it's good to see that, you know, the Premier League teams are looking to the Championship for the talented kind of players to show the quality of the league.
Yeah. Interesting comment from Philip, who's joined us on Facebook tonight. He said, I'm from the North East, and all I've seen on local news is teams relegation. Obviously, Middlesbrough, Sunderland have gone down, and Hartlepool as well have gone down in that neck of the woods as well. Do you think the North East is falling behind, and do you agree with parachute payments that relegated teams get?
Not the amount of money, because as it grows, it's showing every year that just some teams can't compete.
But are the parachute payments not designed to help a team compete in the Premier League? Because you think if you went up and you're only getting one lot of money, well, we'll only spend half of it, because if we come back down, we need to pay all the lads. You know, there'll still be a lot of them we've got to pay. It's almost to say, well, come and have a go, isn't it? And if you don't work out, we'll give you some more money next time.
It's just, you know, it's a good thing, you know. It's a good kind of theory, to use a word, but you've got to think, when you've got the likes of Burton Albion, who, you know, fair play, did manage to stay up this season, but when they're playing clubs such as Newcastle, who have a massive financial power anyway, you know, they're looking at the player like Sissoko, for example, they sold that and that's funded their transfers, essentially. As the Premier League grows, as the TV rights deals grow, only these parachute payments are going to grow as well. And you're thinking, we're talking of Fleetwood, okay, they didn't do it this year, but imagine them coming up to the Championship. It's just worrying that by the time, in a couple of years' time, so many teams will be in the Premier League coming back down. Just how can anyone else be competitive? You don't want it to be kind of a two thing where you get in the top half being very competitive because of financial and the bottom half struggling and not really getting anywhere near promotion.
But is that not what makes like Huddersfield and Leeds, how they've competed? You know, because you look, Brighton have got a very wealthy backers putting money in. Obviously, Newcastle have got the payments as well. Fulham have got the backing of the parachute money, or they've got wealthy owner there. He's a multimillionaire, isn't he, Mr. Khan? And, you know, Wednesday have got their ritual. So there's more. I think the problem now for the parachute money clubs is that before it used to pretty much guarantee you'd be in the mix to go right back up. Now it's not. There's too many big money clubs there.
Well, we've shown teams that have come down who just haven't competed. Look at Villa this year, for example.
Bolton did the
Bolton,
same.
Exactly,
just slowly sank through the league.
Exactly, but, you know, I kind of look at it from that bottom-up angle, that if we are getting teams who, you know, are doing overly well in League One coming up, you mentioned Leeds and Huddersfield, it's fantastic, but, you know, I'm talking a couple of years' time when you've just got so many teams who are coming in and out, you're looking at the amount of new teams who are welcoming to the Premier League over the past couple of years. You don't want it to kind of become that divide where some teams just purely can't compete with the financial powers. You know, you want a league to be competitive. It's shown it this year. We spoke about it earlier. The amount of points needed for playoffs, the amount of points needed for survival, it's higher than it's been, the usual average. You don't want it to kind of form a bit of a split where you've got a breakaway top half, a breakaway bottom half, who all are fighting for survival at one end, fighting for promotion at the other. But yeah, you can see why the parachute payments are there. But in theory, if you're getting relegated, you should really be looking to offload your top earners, your Premier League quality players, for players who can play in the Championship.
Yeah, Cardiff set to beat Championship rivals Wolves and Sunderland to the signing of Southampton striker Sam Gallagher.
Yes, Sam Gallagher, yeah, he's one that's been, I think, in and around the Championship. You can't imagine he's got much of a future at Southampton anyway. We've kind of...
Is this the guy that's been playing at Preston?
Yes, I believe so.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's there. He's proved himself this year. Sunderland, of course, coming down. We spoke about it there. At least it's Sunderland who are looking to players who are at this level. Bit different to Newcastle, I suppose. They had that forward vision. Rafa stayed. And they could kind of attract Premier League quality players. Whereas Sunderland are looking, obviously, to do it the other way, where they're kind of getting the Championship quality players coming in. But yeah,
well, we talk about Sunderland, though. Yeah. Apparently, 130 odd million in debt.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
Despite all the 100 million they get every year, I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's crazy, yeah. And Cardiff as well, with Warnock there next season as well, I think that's going to be quite, you know, an attractive, as silly as it sounds, the form they've been in the second half of the season, if they play like that all season, they'd be up the top end. So you can see why they're kind of looking to recruit and add. And yeah, it's just one of the many kind of transfer talks that are popping up at the moment.
And Harry. He said he'd be interested in sticking around at Birmingham. Do you think that'll happen?
I don't know if... Would he be good for the long term? You can see, as silly as it was for three games, number one, they shouldn't have been in this point anyway because they had a fantastic manager in Rowett. They changed it because the new owners wanted Zola. Then three games to go. That was kind of the perfect situation for him. He's the kind of man you could go, come in, just sort us out for three games. I don't know if he's going to be long term, but then you're thinking that at the current time, what managers are available. In the summer, it all could become different as we know where teams are, managers out of contract, etc. I don't know. I don't know if it's the way forward for them. I don't know if whether they look to try and get another Rowett-type younger manager. I don't know. I just can't see it working out too much.
No, fair enough, fair enough. We will see. Obviously, Leeds been linked with Kyle Bartley.
Yes.
We've discussed that again. But another defender who might be on the move is Bristol City's Aidan Flint.
Yes, been quite an in and about. The Bristol, in and about, of course, he's been a key part of that Bristol City squad. Aston Villa, who I believe are favourites in the early bookies, favourites for promotion and the title. Of course, with Bruce there now, a full season, you're expecting them to be further up than they were to actually be challenging this year. They've not looked like it all year. And yeah, Aidan Flint, a good move for them. They obviously need to strengthen it in certain areas, and I think he's kind of a player who should be competing at the other end of the league.
Yeah, okay. People getting in touch. Phillips says, I don't think any of the relegated clubs will come straight back up. Expect Sheffield United to do well. Likes of Norwich, Wolves, Leeds to be up there.
Yeah.
Russ said, do you feel Chris Wood will still be a Leeds player next year?
I think it's coming to Monk. If Monk's still around, that's going to be such an attractive kind of...
He's clearly got the best out of him, hasn't he? However
exactly,
you dress it up, he's got, you know...
Not just for Wood, for any player, really. You think for Wood especially, there's undoubtedly going to be interest in him. If you're a Premier League club and you need goals, you're going to be looking at the Championship, you're going to go, this guy's got 30 in all competitions this year. We've got to look at him. But like I said, Monk's got the best out of Wood. And if they keep Monk, they've just missed out on the playoffs this year. 75 points, which would, you know, in another season, probably just sneak you into the playoffs. Yeah, you can see him staying if Monk stays around alongside, you know, the likes of Bartley as well. It could be a lot easier to keep him.
Yeah, could be. Good stuff. We said we'd talk about Bradford. They're going to Wembley. They're taking on Millwall.
Yes.
What's you got feelings on this one, Tom?
Bradford. I've had, you know, a good feeling about Bradford for most of the season, to be honest. And then even when we talked about the playoffs, I just think that watching them, they're just such a good team to watch. Of course, if they do come up, I don't think it's going to be the same to Sheffield United. I think Sheffield United will do quite well next year, just, you know, coming into the amount of points they do. But they're a good side. They don't lose many games. That's going to help them massively, as it has done in the playoffs. They've drawn a lot, but they don't lose many. They're not used to losing. I think the Wembley pitch will suit them quite well as well. And I think they'll have enough to beat Millwall and get promoted to the Championship.
Yeah, interesting. Both two teams have got experience at Wembley, haven't they? Obviously, Millwall have been there in recent times as well. It's going to be fifth against sixth, so the teams that came third and fourth bombing out in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. And that Millwall Scunthorpe game was a bit of just bizarre two legs. The first one, you've got 0-0. Nothing massively happened. And the second one, you've got goals and it all going on. So,
well, I watched the second leg, and I have to say, Scunthorpe just had 20 minutes where they've just forgot how to defend, and it was like, what are you doing? They went 3-1 down, and they seemed to be in shock, and in the last 5 minutes they had a really good go, but they couldn't quite pull it back. But so you're confident then, from a Yorkshire perspective then, that Bradford are going to get the job done? Interestingly,
so, yeah.
They drew both games this season 1-1.
quite an equal match. I just think they'll enjoy the occasion more. I think the pressure will probably be on Millwall more, having been there last year and coming so close last year, being a Championship team quite recently as well. I just think it'd be quite nice for Bradford to do it under McCall as well. You know, of course, there before, I think it would just be a good end to what has been a good season. And again, like I said, they just don't lose many games. A team who lose one more game than a Sheffield United team who we've been raving about all season shows how good they are. They've had issues scoring goals. They fixed that by bringing in Wyke. I do feel confident for them to do it.
Good stuff. The tickets have been selling pretty quick as well. Should be a decent crowd down at Wembley for that one. Normally when I listen to your show, we have things like good week, bad week. Have we got a good week, bad week?
Well, I didn't do it this week purely because I want to save it till kind of next week when we know the playoff structure. And I thought, well, we've had no League One, so obviously there's your ones there. Championship was a bit of a...
Yeah, and let's be fair, Hartlepool have had a shocker, haven't they?
It's just a dead competition at the moment.
Yeah. So I think the results on the field have told us who's had a good week, bad week.
There we go,
I was just looking forward to getting stuck into that one, but never mind. What else do you want to talk about then before we wrap up? It's flown by already, hasn't it?
It has. I can't believe it's, 5-7. It's the playoffs. The League Two playoffs for me are... I know I said you can't just go playoffs to lottery. For me, the League Two playoffs I've always found in recent years really have that aspect of lottery, where you've got four teams there who could go up.
Yeah, Blackpool,
really
Luton,
go up.
Carlisle, Exeter in the first round. Carlisle, actually, in the end, I think did well to get back in. But like you said, it could have been any one of 10 teams in that mix, couldn't it?
I think Exeter are quite fancied by playing Carlisle. Of course, Carlisle's just complete collapse, really. They were automatic at one point. Then, of course, the January window came, things changed a bit. Like I said, they did well to get back in, but that Exeter team, you've got to be fancying them to get to Wembley, and once you're there, it's anyone's, really. And yeah, it's going to be big. It's going to be big.
Interesting. Exeter won 13 away games and only 8 at home. I wonder whether they'd actually like to be away rather than at home, but
there we are.
It is what it is.
There we are.
Luton,
yeah.
Bit of pressure, do you think? Feel maybe a little bit more pressure on Luton. It seems an eternity ago I watched Luton play against Leeds in the Cup, right at the beginning of the season. And you could tell then they're a decent team, and there was a bit of an expectation around the ground. And they were the ones nearest to the top three. Do you think they might just have a little bit of pressure on them?
I think they will, playing a Blackpool team who at times of the season haven't looked like they were going to be promotion contenders, got in. Like I said, there's a bit of expectation around them. This season they were quite fancy to do well. Of course, with Doncaster in it, it's difficult to say they're going to win the league. But against a Blackpool team, we've seen in League One that fifth and sixth have gone through. As the team finishing the highest in the playoffs, they've got quite a good tie out of it. We're playing Blackpool. The expectation is going to be there. But for me, it's difficult to call. I just do fancy Exeter based on the fact that I can see them at Wembley with them playing Carlisle.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll see. That'll all be revealed, won't it, in the next coming weeks. Disappointment for Hartlepool. They've gone out. And I guess, of course, we've already got one new member of the FL72. That's going to be Lincoln, of course.
Yes,
how do you think they're going to get on next season?
I think they're going to do okay. I think they are. You know, the season they've had this year with the cup runs, etc., knocking out Burnley, going up against Arsenal, didn't work out exactly as they would have liked. It's been a good run for them. They've got a very kind of fancied manager there as well. A lot of interest seems to be in a lot of managerial markets.
Yeah.
Whenever it comes about, and they're going to, you're going to imagine them to do a lot better than they did before. You've seen it this year. As any team that when they went down this year, they've come back up, but the crowd, the fan base have really engaged with the club as well. There's been a lot of positivity around, and that's only going to help them going into League Two.
Very good. And Tranmere Forest Green playoff there. So in the conference or the National League, the two teams 2 and 3 have got through in this one.
Yeah, Forest Green will be quite an interesting one. I think Tranmere as well, who I think probably more people know a little bit more about. But yeah, it should be quite interesting to see who comes up out of that one. I think I'd like Forest Green just as a bit of a newish face to come into the league. But
okay.
Of course, I think any team that comes up from the National League, as we've shown, are going to be fancy next year to do well.
I think the standard is very much on the improve, isn't it, in the National
definitely,
League?
Definitely, yeah.
So you said Exeter. What about in the Championship then, just to round it up? Who's going to join Brighton and Newcastle in the Premier League?
I think it's a difficult one to call, but I'd say I think Sheffield Wednesday just have that little bit. Got a little bit of quality. They've not changed much from the squad, and they've been there before. Nothing against Huddersfield, but I think they've just got a tad bit more to do it.
Good stuff, Tom. Thanks as always. You'll be back next week with Sam.
Yes.
To take us through, the first legs of the Championship. And you'll be building up, of course, to the second legs in the Championship as well. Thanks to everyone that's got involved tonight. Good luck to all the teams that have still got something on the line. It's been the FL72. The podcast, if you only just caught a bit of the show, will be out very, very shortly indeed. Thanks to Tom. And thanks to you for listening. We'll see you all again next week.